per man-hour productivity in her industrial structure has gone down until the once vaunted English craftsman is way behind his counterparts in all of the common market countries. Still, egged on by irresponsible labor leaders, he asks for shorter hours, higher pay, and more perks. That's fringe benefits. Strikes for little or no cause are commonplace. Well, at last a voice has been raised, and we as well as the British should take heed. Surprisingly, the voice comes not from the opposition party, the Conservatives, but from a leader, indeed the leader, of the Labour Party, Prime Minister Callaghan. He says the cozy world which we were told would go on forever, where full employment would be guaranteed by a stroke of the Chancellor's pen, cutting taxes and deficit spending, is gone. The Prime Minister, it is said, now sees socialism as an oversold superstition among the British working class. Well, if it is true that somehow we take a parallel course to Britain, then we'd better listen to what the Labour Prime Minister told the British Labour Party at its recent convention. He obviously was not out to win a popularity contest, and didn't. But even those who jeered the loudest must have wondered if they could equal his courage. "We must ask ourselves unflinchingly," he said, "what is the cause of high unemployment?" And he answered his own question. "Quite simply and unequivocally, it is caused by paying ourselves more than the value of what we produce. This is an absolute fact of life which no government, be it left or right, can alter. We have lived too long on borrowed money, and even borrowed ideas, and live in too troubled a world to be able in a matter of months or even a couple of years to enter the promised land." He went on to say to his surly audience, "We used to think you could just spend your way out of a recession and increase employment by cutting taxes and boosting government spending. I tell you, that option no longer exists. And insofar as it did exist, it worked by injecting inflation into the economy." He added, "We can only become competitive by having the right kind of investment at the right kind of level and by significantly improving the productivity of both labor and capital. Nor will we succeed if we use confetti money to pay ourselves more than we produce." I wonder if George Meany would like to ask him to address the AFL-CIO convention. And while he's here, maybe he could speak to Congress. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Well, good afternoon. This is Al Fonzi. Welcome to Sound Off. Here to talk about whatever's on your mind today. The phone lines are open, 238-5775. I know what your weather's like. My weather's kind of gloomy, raining mixed with snow. Possibly a lot of it tonight, cold weather. Whoopee. Okay, should I start with the good news or the bad news? I'm going to start with the outrageous news today, and I'm not talking about a government shutdown. Looks like we might have a call coming in, though. I can't tell yet. How many of you heard about the problem at Arlington Cemetery the last, I guess, 2 years? They have not been using horse-drawn caissons to take the fallen soldiers to their final resting place in Arlington. And there's a reason for that. They had to shut it down because of maltreatment of the horses. Apparently, the horses who pulled those caissons, burying our dead in Arlington, they had some real problems with them. Lack of care, total neglect by the Army. They're crowded in small fields littered with manure and construction debris. The horses were infested with parasites, suffering from malnutrition caused by low-quality diet. So bad that two of the horses died as a result of the conditions. The Army Inspector General's office reported the horses had very little grass in the field where they live. Many had to consume sand and gravel, which eventually caused the deaths of two of the horses. The investigators found that one of the horses that passed away was found to have 44 pounds of gravel and sand in his gut. Of the 64 horses they had, 18 had been retired. They were dying in the year 2022. This is on Biden's watch, by the way, because of the Army's failure to provide proper food, veterinary care, pasture land, and stables for the herd. This platoon of horses carrying our fallen should be the most elite organization of its kind on the planet, and yet they were shamelessly treated. And I haven't seen a single news story about this over the last several years. You think we're spending too much money in the government? Yeah, we're spending too much money in the government. But this is the kind of thing where the money needs to be spent. And this comes under the Department of Defense, the military budget. $800 billion, you'd think they'd find money to properly care for these animals. And the other thing is, who was fired? Who was court-martialed? There's probably an officer involved. Was he court-martialed? Did he lodge numerous complaints? Did he go public with his complaints? Why was this allowed to get so bad? Why were we so indifferent to what was going on? Now, you can get callous doing this kind of duty every day. There's a regiment dedicated specifically for this, the Old Guard. They're the guys who do the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and things like that. If you get an idea of the inside of what's like that, back in the 70s, there was a movie with James Caan called Gardens of Stone, talking about that regiment and what they went through during the Vietnam War, having to deal with the burial details of fallen soldiers, and then also dealing with normal military life. Some of them went to the Vietnam themselves. At any rate, this is an outrage. I'd like to know more about it. Why was this ever allowed to happen? And what else is going on in our military with the treatment of animals? I mean, this is just unbelievable. This would happen. I'm sorry I had to bring this up to you at Christmas, but I just found out about it today. There's another story out. You know, the government's shut down. It's looming. We can talk about that. There's another report out. This talks about the president, talks about his fitness or unfitness for his office. It's an article, a report done by the Wall Street Journal, and they talk about how the White House functioned with a diminished Biden in charge. It's a 3,800-word story, which means it's pretty long, and Democrats are admitting that Joe Biden's severe age-related decline in the last 4 years is pretty severe, very severe, and they flat-out lied to us this whole time. Now, not that I was taken in by this. Anybody that saw the president and his performance could see this man was definitely have diminished mental capacity. There's a real problem there. And I've talked about it numerous times about, you know, controlling the nuclear release codes and things like that, and his ability to make decisions under extreme stress in a short period of time. Could he do that? But this is just confirming it. And they had interviews with like 50 people. And these are some of the things they had to do. They had direct knowledge of the White House operations, but they had to adopt the White House around the demise of the diminished leader. They told visitors to keep meetings focused. Interactions with senior Democratic lawmakers and some cabinet members, including powerful secretaries such as Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Treasury, were very infrequent. The months and months went by without having any conversations with him, including ahead of the pullout from Afghanistan. Press aides were told by senior staff to omit negative stories about the president. There are limits over who he could speak to, limits on what they said to him, limits around the sorts of information he consumed. If the president had an off-duty meeting, basically they'd be scrapped altogether. And it wasn't just congressional Democrats. It was major members of his cabinet. Over 4 years, Biden held 9 full cabinet meetings. Now think about this. Over 4 years, over 48 months, he met with his cabinet 3 times in 2021, twice in 2022, 3 in 2023, and just 1 this year. Now, has there been any crisis going on? Any things where he might have needed to speak to his entire cabinet? Things going on in the Middle East? Things going on with the war in Ukraine and Russia? Things going on with China? Yeah, quite a few. In their first terms, Obama held 19 and Trump held 25, and at least one cabinet member stopped requesting calls with the president. There were so many. The bottom line is, he was totally out of touch, totally. Who was running the government? Who was acting as president? Now, this is an Orwellian deception, as big as any I've read about. It's incredible that they've been getting allowed to get away with it. And my question is, okay, if the president wasn't really there mentally, who was signing the legislation? And does the legislation he signed, if he wasn't signing it or someone was guiding his hand and he didn't know what was going on, are they legal? I mean, he's been doing illegal stuff for a while. He just gave away another $4 billion today, billion with a B, forgiveness of student loans, which the Supreme Court said he had no authority to do, yet he just keeps doing it. I hope when Trump becomes president that the bill goes back out to these young people and says, sorry about that, we made a mistake. Those loan forgiveness letters you got are invalid. You still owe your payment. And by the way, with interest, you now owe this much. I know that's a hard thing for college students to have to do. But the reality is you can't give away government money without authorization from Congress. You just can't do that. And he had no authorization from Congress to do that. You cannot spend money as a government official and without appropriate authorization to do that. There's a whole process to do that. It's not just one single vote in Congress. Other things have to happen. You can say, okay, we're going to authorize it. Now we can appropriate it, but now you got to authorize the actual spending of the money. It's convoluted. But you can't just do it by saying, okay, I'm going to send you a tweet or I'm going to make a statement and say this is okay. It doesn't work that way. Actually, they can claw a lot of money back. They're selling off the wall down at the border. He's been doing that quietly for quite a few months. It came to light in the last couple of weeks. I believe they finally stopped auctioning off. They were auctioning them off for pennies on the dollar. Billions of dollars of material are being sold off to anybody that wants it. The state of Texas tried to buy it. The government refused to sell the stuff to the state of Texas. They have $1 billion they're prepared to spend to buy this stuff, materials to complete the wall on the Texas border. So this was just an effort to sabotage the American people, sabotage the Trump presidency, and make it as hard as possible for the American people's will to be executed. American people want a wall built. They want immigration brought under control. They want criminals deported from this country, and of course terrorists as well, people on terrorist watch lists. They don't belong in the United States. And who are their victims? Well, their victims are ordinary American citizens, yes, but they're also mostly their victims, according to recent news reports, or other migrants that have come into the country. They had a report in Aurora, Colorado. Remember the report some months back? And he said, oh, we have this new Venezuelan gang, this really vicious gang operating in Aurora, Colorado. They showed pictures of them on TV breaking down doors in this apartment complex. And the city official says, oh, nothing to see here. This is not a problem. We don't have any problems. Well, guess what? They went in and they invaded an apartment. They held a couple prisoner, kidnapped them, held them prisoner, took them to another unit, and they tortured them. They stabbed the husband. They tore out the fingernails of the wife. Tore out her fingernails. I'm not sure why they're doing that. Gangs do things because they have whatever reason they want. I think they want to move out of their apartment or something. The bottom line is they have a serious problem. They've, officials moved in. They arrested 15 or 20 of these guys in a raid. And they did another raid, I think, in Brooklyn, New York, raiding the same gang who's setting up headquarters there. They're around. They're dangerous. They're extremely dangerous, extremely violent people. And yet you have these liberal Democratic mayors and state officials, assembly members, and governors in some cases saying they're not going to cooperate with Trump. They're putting more legislation in effect to punish their own people if they dare cooperate. Now, it's interesting. Tom Holman, the new designate to be the Homeland Security Secretary, says we're going to go after these guys. And we hope you help us. Let us get in your jails. We don't have to go in your neighborhoods. We'll go in your jails. We'll arrest them there with detainers. But if you interfere with us, we're going to arrest you too. I can't wait to see that happen, to see some of these, pontificating political officials get arrested. And I hope they treat them like they treated some of the January 6th or pro-life protesters. And they ship them 1,000 miles away to a federal prison. By the way, Guantanamo, I understand that Guantanamo has a lot of vacancies. Maybe some of them go wait there for aiding and abetting terrorist organizations and criminal, organized crime organizations. They can go there. They want to be martyrs? Let them be martyrs for real. See what it's like to be in prison for that. That may be harsh, but it's not harsh enough. I'm tired of it. People are dying. You hear about the most spectacular cases of women and children being raped, women being kidnapped and murdered and tortured and everything else. Those are the most spectacular ones. But believe me, with millions of people in this country and about 1 million of these people actually being criminals, like I think 700,000 or 800,000 known criminals have been included, and the illegals that have come across the border, they've been able to identify. That's a lot of additional crime in the cities, and you don't hear about all the crimes that are being committed. The property crimes, the sexual assaults, the violent crimes and things like that, a lot of it within the migrant community, and they're terrified. They can't begin to testify or bring things to the police because they fear for their lives because no one will help them. You arrest these guys, they're out of jail before the cops have the paperwork done, and they know this, so they keep their mouth shut and they comply. This is how the mafia got its roots in the United States 100 and some years ago. Large influxes of Italian Americans, people from Sicily, coming in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Well, the mafia came with them, and who do they prey upon? They preyed upon the Italian American community. That was the first people they did, and they were concentrated in neighborhoods, protection rackets, and things like that. Moved into the docks, moved into the garment industry, moved into various industries. Basically, thugs, just like they were in Sicily, just like they were in southern Italy. And they corrupted things. You know, they bribed people, they murdered people, they tortured people, they moved into prostitution and these other things. That's how criminal organizations work. And you have to focus your law enforcement against them, and you've got to work on them, and you've got to break them up. The mafia is still there, but not like it used to be, not anywhere near as powerful as it once was, because people are willing to speak out. But generations of people earlier on were terrorized. Recent immigrants, legal immigrants coming in, were terrorized by these people because in their country, there was no law, there was no rule of law, there was no protection of the law, or the effectiveness that we have today. With the efficiency of law enforcement today, organizations like that can be pretty much put out of business as long as you get people to testify. They're here, they're dangerous, yes. But the ones coming across the borders now, they don't even have any rules of their own. They are bloodthirsty, vicious thugs. And they need to be removed from this nation after they serve their time here. But politicians in this country that do not do their sworn duty to uphold the law and to uphold the Constitution as they're supposed to do should be removed from office. And if that means putting them in jail, then put them in jail and convict them of felonies, especially if you declare states in a state of insurrection like California is doing everything it possibly can to thwart the incoming president and his policies. It's one thing to oppose on the floor of the Senate and the House. It's quite another to physically block federal agents in the performance of their duties. When you start doing that, you're getting right around the edges of a state of insurrection. And maybe it needs to be declared. You know, state of emergency for the nation on immigration, and on top of that, declare these cities, the counties, or states, in some cases, states of insurrection. And if you get convicted under that, you can no longer hold a federal office, of any level in the United States. It's what they tried to do to Trump with all the lawful affair they've conducted against him, except in this case, it would be actual crimes being committed by state and local officials. You know, we have laws of land. The laws have been adjudicated. They're on the books. I think there's 1.4 million people ready to be deported. They've gone through the whole court process. They just need to be picked up and sent out. You block an officer in performance of his duties, that is a federal crime. And I think we need to start enforcing that. So I'd like to hear what you have to say. Okay, that's the worst of the bad news at this point. The government shutdown. This is something else. I don't understand who makes these calendars. Okay, we're going to run out of money on December 20th. And I said, who came up with that date? Why couldn't you make it, you know, January 29th or February 2nd, you know, the day after the second month, after the new president is inaugurated, after the new House and the Senate are in there? Why would you make it just before Christmas? That doesn't make any sense to me, but they constantly do this. You know what that does? You know, a lot of people say you're not going to notice a shutdown. Most of us won't notice a lot of the effects of it a lot of times. But I'll tell you who will know. Members of the armed forces, because they don't get paid. Now you say, well, they got enough money coming. They live in government housing. They're okay. Some of them live in government housing. A lot of the junior enlisted people do not. They're going to suffer a lot. We got a caller on one of the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Lisa Majors. I'm a crisis chaplain, and I work with trauma, abuse, and exploitation victim survivors. And thank you for your information. Yes, the border needs to be closed. We have, you know, we work with victim survivors that are now mamas and having children, too. Coming over the border as a trafficked victim has been going on for a long, long time. We have victims that we work with that they were children and talked into, their mamas were talked into giving them up as adoption, and they ended up becoming victims of human trafficking into America back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But the problem is that with the open border, it exploded this industry into outrageous, incredible, abusive, and cartel business. So we, you know, seriously, we need to close that border.
Oh, absolutely. I've read that the cartels are making more money from transporting people across the border than they make than transporting drugs. So that gives you some idea of the scale. We know drug money is big, but apparently moving people's bigger. And they've been doing it for some time, and a lot of officials just don't want to deal with the problem. In fact, I read today that The Nation magazine, The Nation, is arguing or calling for Biden to give a mass amnesty for everybody who's been brought across the border. And I presume that would include those who are criminals coming across as well, because they haven't really discerned who those people are. So.
No.
That would be a disaster for this country. You can't absorb them. But how about the hundreds of thousands of kids that have disappeared where they have no
500,000.
Idea?
500,000. Yeah, 500,000 now. A year ago it was 85,000. Then it went up to 300,000. Now it's 500,000. They have no clue where these children are. And the sponsors, some sponsors have been sponsoring over 1,000 children. And a lot of the sponsors have illegal driver's license and illegal fraudulent security cards. It's serious. California gets an F in this with the drug fentanyl trafficking and the labor and sex trafficking. And also they just are allowing right now 10-year-olds to be married to 26-year-olds. And the problem with that is you now have a sex trafficker claiming to be a husband, and that then the child welfare services cannot get involved. The police can't do anything because it's a domestic violence or it's a domestic issue, and there's, well, she wants to do that.
How can a 10-year-old be legally married? How can a 10-year-old be legally married to a 26-year-old man? I mean, that used to be the case. You know, 100 years ago, my grandmother was married at the age of 14, but she lived in Kentucky and things like that. They allowed them to do that, but they don't do that anymore. How can, if it's not legal in California for a 10-year-old to get married in California at the age of 10, how can someone come across and say she's a legal spouse?
Well, or get married in California because California allows it now.
We allow
what
that?
What is
California?
Happening to our officials that are trying to, are sworn to protect us and protect women and protect children?
That's the first
they're
time
failing
I've heard that.
On their commitment and their sworn oath.
That's incredible. I mean, I've never heard that for California. I thought it was a fairly progressive state, but I didn't realize it
look
was that
it up. And also, I have victims who have they were witnesses to cases, and as victims, they testified in court and they got a conviction. Now we have the prisoners, the pimps in prison, who are trying to get early release. And on the letter that comes to the victim, California says what happened to them was a non-violent crime. This is where the pimp actually holds them in dog cages, threatens, terrorizes, near-death experiences, or even drowning and reviving them to let them know how they can control them. And the state now says it's a non-violent crime and that these predators in criminal prisons right now can be released for early release programs.
Who's making the decision to call it a non-violent crime?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
That's incredible. I'll have to ask my daughter. My daughter is a nurse in the state prison system. I'll have to ask her about some of that. That's just unreal. I mean, I knew it was bad in California, but I didn't realize it was that bad. What organization do you work for again?
Letters from the probation.
Okay.
Yep.
What organization do you work for, and how can people learn more about this?
We're Resilient Souls. We work with victims. We're the aftercare of this tragedy. We bring health and healing. We run groups. We're building a healthy community because a lot of these people are growing up and having children, and the trauma is with the moms or the caregivers, and it goes down to the children. It's a horrid process, and we're trying to halt and bring healing and hope. And also reformation, transformation, correcting their judicial system with the stories that we hear.
Well, it needs to be out there. Have you called the station manager and asked to be able to be on Sound Off during the weekdays when they do interviews and stuff like that to spend like a full half hour to an hour talking about this?
We have on one of our cases where the survivor mama was, her son was being trying to recruit by gangs in the high school, and luckily the high school finally recognized that the gangs were in the high school, but for a long time they denied it.
Well, I'm thinking about you. I mean, you're very articulate and you have a lot to say, and I think it'd be great if you got on the air and just told people what's going on in their own neighborhoods, what's going on in their communities. I think you should do that. I can't do
it
for them, but I recommend you do that. Hey, that's a really great call, and I appreciate your calling in today, and people need to know more about this, so please keep this up there on the radar screen so people don't, okay, I heard that last month, and move to the next item.
Thank you.
People tend to do that.
And
thank you very much
for your help, too. Get the word out.
Okay. Well, thank you much for your call. Boy, that's appalling. 10 years old can be married in California to a 26-year-old man. I had no idea. I mean, I know that I've read about the address where someone had 2,500 people come to the same address. And this is where, you know, the Border Patrol sees this kind of stuff, and the Biden administration has refused to allow them to do anything about it. I mean, there should have been ICE agents there going through there. They should have tracked these people down. It's obvious what's going on. If someone was coming across the border and using 2,500 names for marriages or something like that, I know that people would be involving themselves in that and be chasing that down. But, oh, immigration coming in, oh, that's okay. You know, 2,500 kids going to a sponsor, that's okay. It must be a new school system or something sponsoring all these kids, a giant orphanage. Not. I'm sorry being a little sarcastic about it, but I'm very angry about this. I see it, and don't believe because you live in the Central Coast that it's not there. Human trafficking exists on the Central Coast. Fly-by-night, massage parlors, here for a couple of weeks, gone. My wife's hair salon she went to, there was a masseuse organization next to them, and they basically disappeared. Looks like we've got a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Al. I'm not sure you're correct about insurrection, state or being guilty of insurrection if they don't follow federal laws. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's not true. There was a time here in this country that the states actually had a good deal of control in the national government. That was pretty much ended with the direct election of senators, but it has never been officially changed. And because of that, a state has enormous amounts of rights. So if the state of California decides that they're not going to follow the law on immigration, I would like to see that go to the Supreme Court. That'd be an interesting case.
Well, they do have a case that went through a couple of years ago. I can't recall the exact name of it, but it involved the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, where federal law trumps state law. And if you're taking federal money or if you're refusing to follow federal law, let's say an integration. When they had the school system in Little Rock, Arkansas, refused to integrate back in the 1950s, President Eisenhower sent the 82nd Airborne there, and you had paratroopers on the streets with fixed bayonets in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that kind of quelled the refusal to comply right then and there. You had governors. I remember standing in the doorway. You had, can't think of his name right now. He's a southern governor. He stood in front of the school system with his arms outstretched. He says, you know, no black kids are going to come into the school. Integration now, or segregation now, segregation forever. Wallace. Can't think of his first name, but Wallace was the guy.
Yeah,
and he refused to do it. And, you know, sometimes they sent troops in to enforce the laws or federal marshals, and they eventually complied.
But even that was illegal. The Posse Comitatus law from the 1880s forbids federal troops to operate on American soil.
They don't do arrests, but they do have powers if there is an insurrection. Got to go for a break, but thanks for your call.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.